From the DLC Media News Center, this is Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program produced by the DLC Media News Center.
State Senator John Ford and State Representative Bob Heaton were at the Corey Firehouse on Saturday, March 18th, to talk about state issues during the Cracker Barrel.
So I'll start. Good to see everyone this morning. Thanks for coming out. But so we're at the halfway point. I put a sheet out on some of the tables, and, you know, we've received, you know, some House bills, about 178, and we've sent over about 164 bills to the Senate. So this is where now, you know, our Senate bills, we've got to get through the House. House bills got to get through the Senate. And, you know, we're starting to wind down. We're 5 weeks left, 6 weeks left, depending on the budget. Once they figure out the budget, we'll move pretty quickly. So now everyone's really scrambling to get their bills heard in committee and moving. You know, some of the bills, I mean, we've passed one bill, Senate Bill 2, signed by the governor, and that was kind of a big deal where we'll allow now the state taxes to be deducted from your federal taxes for LLCs and S-Corps. So that should help save about $50 million for small business owners. And that is something that many, many states have already enacted. It's called the SALT tax, and we were just late on it. So we passed that and went through the Senate and the House very quickly. The governor signed it, I think, about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. So I think that was an important one. But I'm happy to take questions when we talk about bills then.
Bob, you got any hot issues for us?
How hot? To some people, they all are. No, it's like Senator Ford said. You know, we've got their bills and they've got our bills, and we're looking at them. And it's maybe in 5-6 weeks we'll complete our work over there. Hopefully, not do too much damage. But a week ago, thereabouts, the school superintendent, the acting school superintendent there in Vigo County, basically bashed the House Republicans on House Bill 1001, the budget bill, that we didn't fund textbooks for the upcoming school year. And that's absolutely false. In Vigo County, I think it's about $105 per student for textbooks, and we put it in the school funding formula, but it basically will provide $250 per student when it comes to textbook funding. So when you kick in inflation, it does more than fund just textbooks alone. And so there's plenty of money there. And so in Clay County, I'll tell you this. So when it comes to that, here in Clay County, Clay Community Schools, even though we've had decrease in enrollment, the school corporation here will receive an additional $228 per student in fiscal year 2024 and another $148 per student in fiscal year 25. A total of $375 per student in new funding here in Clay County. And the average, well, student textbook fee is $150 per student here. So we're more than funding that amount when it comes to textbook here in Clay County. Yeah?
I got a question related to that. When you're talking about textbooks, they do an awful lot with their computers and software on that. Does this cover that cost as well?
It does, as far as Chromebooks and that type of thing. Yeah, I believe it does. And so we don't like to tell the local elected school board, here's what you got to do with this money. Let the locals make that decision. And we're saying, okay, here's some money. And you guys take it from there. That's what it boils down to. So some of my colleagues, and I think Senator Ford feels the same way, that, you know, we get a little aggravated, like my dad used to use that word a lot, aggravated with some of the statements that some people will make. And, you know, we talked about this morning earlier about, you know, school boards, and, you know, I'll be nonpartisan and all that stuff. But then when you have a guy over there in Beagle County making it partisan, you know, that's, I don't think is right. But so anyway, we brought that up earlier today. You know, I think, you know, that we're looking at Senate Bill 4 next week, I believe, you know, county health departments and so forth, and the power that they have. And so we're working with all of that, what the Senate brought over to us. And to be honest with you, I haven't looked at it that closely yet, but next week I will. And so that's an issue. We'll be looking at Senate Bill 12 that deals with school libraries, and I don't know, John, if you voted for that or against it, but they questioned, you know, Bassler and Bray this morning. I think both of them might have voted for that bill, but it just deals with harmful material in school libraries, and so I don't know, you might have read up on that, maybe. So we're going to be dealing with that. And I believe it was Senator Toms, he had that. And I want to say, in committee in the Senate, it was several hours discussion on that, yeah, wasn't it? And but we'll take a look at that possibly next week and in the next few weeks. So, okay, I think that kind of, for the most part, talks about that. But we had we passed out of the House the budget bill, House Bill 1001. It was over 200 pages thick, I guess. And but anyway, now that's over in the Senate, and they're going to be looking at that and maybe taking some things out, putting some things in. But when it gets down to it, the next month, the last couple weeks of session really gets into the nitty-gritty, so to speak, of the budget that we're dealing with in this long session. So appreciate everybody here. Owen County had, I think, 9 people there. Last month it was 29. I think a lot of people stayed up for the IU game, so that's why they slept in this morning.
IU in cold weather.
Yeah. Yeah, well, when I was taking off, this morning, snow was coming down pretty good in Terre Haute, and all the way to Spencer this morning when it was dark out.
Well, it's springtime in Indiana now. IU's playing and Purdue isn't. So. My wife's a Purdue grad, so I know.
Boiler up. Boiler up.
Okay, got some school board people over here. You got some issues you want to bring up?
I'm just concerned about the health commission. I've talked to both of you about that. I would like to know, and I'm sure I can go to the website and check every day, but do you have any idea when that bill will be heard on the floor where we can come and testify against it?
Well, I think, like Bob said, I think it's coming up this week in the House Health Committee. But I'll tell you, the bill's changed quite a bit.
Okay.
It's now optional. It's now more of a grant program. So counties can apply for money for different projects if they want to. So it's been watered down quite a bit.
Well, even watered down, it's dangerous because it does take power away from the local level. Even though right now it's voluntary, the time is coming when they will say, you're not getting any money unless you do thus and thus and thus. That time will come. You give somebody an inch, they will take a mile. And I heard a committee member say, well, what happens if the counties don't comply or they don't sign on to what we're doing here? And one of the gentlemen said, well, we will need to guide them through their, lovingly guide them through their ignorance. That's what one of the commission members said. It's on video. So that's concerning to me. I mean, that's not going to stop. And to me, it's the governor trying to circumvent what y'all did last year in curbing his power on this pandemic thing and, you know, going around you all to implement something that's going to be dangerous on down the road. And that's my concern.
I think there's talk, too, that they'll take it away from the state health department and run it through a different state agency. So,
well, to me, government has no business dealing with our individual health issues, and that's what happened during the pandemic, whatever you want to call it. I have a hard time not saying pandemic, because health departments were dictating, because the CDC said this or the WHO said that, we're gonna implement these masks. And they were not basing it on fact. They did not discuss this with an industrial hygienist. I didn't even know if one of those even existed until this all came out. And you know, they studied the environment in a work environment to test the air, test masking and all that stuff. And they were saying that they were ineffective. And yet we were forced, or some people were forced, I didn't do it, but were forced to wear masks, especially children, which really upset me because they need to be able to breathe. They need to be able to see their teachers' faces and get cues from them. And they were denied that for a long time. And I just think that's all kinds of wrong.
That's a comment, right? Not really a question.
Well, didn't you say if I had any issues, that was my issue.
Yeah.
And I did ask you a question about when that might be heard that we can come and testify.
Well, so, yeah. So Senate Bill 4, I think that's the one, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think they looked at that in Public Health Committee maybe on Wednesday of this past week. And just for testimony, just a hearing only, no amendments. So it'll be brought up again, I think, next week. And I believe that's a friend of mine. Does anybody want to talk to Bruce Borders? sorry about that, but Representative Brad Barrett, he's a retired surgeon, and he's the committee chair of public health. And from Richmond, friend of mine, I go to Brad a lot on some things and vice versa. But I just know he heard it the other day, and I think there's going to be some. I don't know if they're going to have any testimony next week or not, or maybe amend and vote, or what's going to happen. But so technically, it was heard the other day.
Well, I think the danger is government being involved in our individual health care. Period. I never agreed with Obamacare. I had to have it because, well, I was required to. It was terrible. A person's health care is between them and their doctor. And we're eliminating that relationship by all these bills that are being passed to say, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this. And during the pandemic, they were ignoring one Indiana code that says you cannot be forced to take medical treatment. It's right there in the Indiana code, and yet nobody was talking about it. I don't have that with me, or I tell you which one it is. But I mean, why are we not paying attention to that? I mean, I understand that public health is an issue, but who decides? It should not be government. It should be the federal government. It shouldn't be the state government. It's between the patient and the doctor. That's my opinion. And I'm not saying that as a board member, I'm saying that as a citizen.
Any other comments on that? Okay. There's a lot of concern with it, but sometimes things don't happen where it wasn't. I guess keep pushing pressure against it.
Well, I know that some bills come up, and like the one on forcing transgenderism on kids past third grade. They can't go past third grade, whatever that bill is. You know what I'm talking about. We talk about it.
As far as
not
the House bill, was that 1608?
90.
And I'm on that bill with Michelle Davis, who's the author. Basically, it says, I think we had one Republican that voted against that with the Democrats, but it basically says if, from kindergarten up to third grade, a teacher in traditional public school setting, charter schools, whatever, cannot talk about or teach, if you will, gender identity or sexual orientation, And as I tell people, my granddaughter, my youngest, will turn 5 here in about in 13 days, and she's excited about going to kindergarten at Staunton Elementary in August. And I tell you what, I'm probably 99% sure that little Anna is not going to be taught anything about sexual orientation or gender identity at Staunton Elementary. 99% sure. Well, if we pass the bill, it'd be 100% sure. Okay. And there's I think you might have been talking about that, but that just dealt with K through third grade. Okay.
Right. And you had mentioned that, you got to start somewhere. The bill was patterned after the one in Florida, which is great. But the reverse is true on things that we don't want to happen, and that's with this healthcare thing. You get a little bit past, and then the next, term, it's something else, and they're going to add to it. I mean, why did we stop at third grade? It really should be, through high school, because the reasoning portion of the brain does not fully develop until age 25. So...
But in my opinion, we shouldn't even have to take care of, we shouldn't even have to talk about this at the state level.
I agree.
But its schools are been overrun, and especially in more urban areas, they're doing things that I never thought I'd have to vote on.
Right.
And that's where I think folks like yourself who run and get on the school board, we'd have to have more of that. Because I think a lot of this stuff should be done at the local level, and
so
local people should decide what they want for their school system, not me up in Indianapolis, because at some point, these majorities we have may change.
Exactly. And that could happen. And they strip that bill completely, or strip that ball, if it is passed, they'll strip it completely. So, yeah, the local level is really where it's going to be.
Well, and speaking on that, too, Cheryl, and I know the Senate passed, I'm trying to think of the bill number, but it's a 480 maybe? Dr. Tyler Johnson had a bill that basically that dealt with the surgeries for transitioning little 4-year-olds or whatever. It blows my mind, but anyway. But that passed out of the, I don't know all the details of that, but it's going to be heard. Now, that's going to be heard, I think, this coming week. Joanna King from Shipshawana area, Newberry, she's going to be the sponsor of that bill. But basically telling Riley Children's Hospital, if you will, you can't do that. You can't perform surgery. And they'll say, well, we don't perform surgeries. But they'll go ahead and, give the puberty blockers and all that to the little kids. And the FDA hasn't even approved that, those drugs that they're given to
that
these kids.
That doesn't seem to matter anymore.
It's just crazy. Well, yeah, right. And so we'll have some more demonstrations, this week up there, kind of on our side instead of yours, this side. But anyway, we'll pretty sure we're going to deal with that this week.
State Senator John Ford and State Representative Bob Heaton at the March 18th Cracker Barrel at Corry, Indiana. The next Cracker Barrel in Clay County is scheduled for April 15th.
This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. on 104.9 WAXI and at 7 a.m. on WAMB The Breeze, 1130 a.m., 106.9 and 99.5 FM. And on Sunday morning at 6 a.m. on 105.5 The Legend and at 7 a.m. on 92.7 The Rock, WFMB. For a replay of this program or any past programs, go to any of our station websites. Thank you for listening to Focus on the Community.